Hey everyone, my name is Josh, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and your family and be a blessing any way that we can. You could also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Morning, everybody. Great to see you all. If you have your Bible, we'll be in Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Would love to see you out at the family night, bowling, roller skating. Some of you may say, my roller skating days are behind me. You can just come watch and videotape and watch people fall. It is great. You're welcome to join us. They have seats all along the edge of the roller rink, and you can, when people get tired, they'll skate over to you and talk with you, and so looking forward to that tonight. I also wanted to make you aware, at the River Church, Phil just talked about giving. One of the things that we do is we have something we call Power of Three. It's each of our locations have specific building projects that we have going on that you can give specifically to. So specific to the Waterford Power of Three. And so last year, you gave to that, and we reached our goal where we took care of replacing the roof over the gym. We took care of fixing the steps, redoing those. And then we're going to recarpet floor one. The hallways, we're waiting till winter leaves. We should do it sooner than later before we get that recarpeted down there. So thank you for giving to that. So for 2026, what we're doing, there's building things, and then there's exciting things. Our nursery, we are just having so many kids in our nursery. So part of our Power of Three for 2026 is we're going to revamp our nursery wing. We're excited about that. The roof over the overhang in offices needs to be replaced, so it's a part of that. And walked to my office the other day, and there was a puddle there, so that needs to be replaced. And then also just the tech in our auditorium, our speakers are 28 years old. I did the math on that. And anything that's technology that is over 2 years old is probably a little bit behind, so just making that so we can be just do everything well. So that is our 2026 Waterford Power of Three, and want you to be aware of that. All right, Ephesians 6. Again, we are, this month is family month. We've been studying the foundation of the family. Ephesians 5 and 6, the letter, the book, speaks directly to that. And so we've been studying how the Bible, this is speaking to those who are believers, Christians, are called to be filled with the Spirit. The Lord is supposed to be leading us to what? Ephesians 5:21, leading us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, to love one another, to look out for one another. And then the passage goes on to explain more. It says, this is what it looks like in the family. Wives, this is what it looks like for you. Husbands, this is what submission looks like for you. Children, last week we got to chapter 6 in verses 1, 2, and 3, talking about children obeying their parents, honoring their parents. And today is chapter 4, where we will look, and just to backtrack, it was awesome for me just studying children last week, how important children are. And it's something like, as a pastor, yep, I know the Lord, children are important, but you look at God's word, and God emphasizes, God brings great value to children. In the Bible, it speaks directly. It says it speaks to wives, it speaks to husbands, and then it speaks directly to children. Why? Because there's great value, the Lord's love. It's so amazing. And so this morning, we're going to look at parenting, fathers, mothers. Now, each week, let's read this, Ephesians 6. 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And verse 4 is where we're going to look this morning. Now, I have really tried every single Sunday to make sure that no matter where you're at, no matter what your home looks like, you understand it is important to understand the truth of these passages. Whether you're a grandma, whether you're single, have kids, don't have kids, wherever, whatever your family looks like, to hear the foundation of family is so important. And maybe today when we talk about fathers, Maybe today is for you to hear the love of God the Father for you. That you may have been raised in a place where your earthly father didn't show that heavenly father love. And so when the Bible starts to talk about what a father should look like and pointing to the love of God the Father, you really struggle. Because when you think of father, you think of someone that's just looking for you to make a mistake so they can discipline you. And so you equate that to God the Father. Or you, when you think of father, you think of abandonment. Or you think of father that you need to do all of these things to draw their attentions. You need to do all these things for the father to love you. And maybe this morning you just need to hear the incredible truth of God the Father's love for you. And ultimately, as we read God's word, we see that it is pointing us to the submission to coming under the loving Heavenly Father. And also, no matter where you're at, the church is called to love the family. The church is called to care for kids. The church is called to come alongside of you as parents and to care for you. The church is called to love this community. And so many kids don't have moms or dads that lead them to follow the Lord. We are called to love them with the love of Christ. So may we hear that and be challenged this morning. So let us pray. We'll dive into this passage. Lord, I pray for help this morning. As I prayed, Lord, may we hear your truth, Lord. Apply it to our lives. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I love being a father. I have a 15-year-old boy. He is going to start driving in about 5 weeks. That ought to be fun. No, he's doing good. He's got all his hours in. He's doing great. But there's a story I've told. Maybe this is the story I've told. Out of all the stories, I've shared this story the most. I think it's just a great, it's just a helpful story to help us to see the truth. When my son was 3 years old, getting ready to turn four, I remember back, right, it's over 10 years ago now, to this very special day we had. I took him, it was just him and I. We went to over by Summit Place Mall. There was a store over there called Toys R Us. It was this massive store. It had toys everywhere. Remember that back in the day? Mm-hmm. Wish that was still, all right, we can't do that anymore, but I took my little son there, almost 4 years old, and we walked around that store, and I still remember him just going, ooh, I'll take that one, and we got to the next aisle, and he's like, nope, no, this one, and that day, we made our way back, and there was the little sports part of the store, and I bought my son some plastic bowling pins, and we went home that day, and we played with those bowling pins. Meaning he knocked them down and I set them up. That's what it meant to play with those bowling pins. And that got annoying, right? You're like, it was great. Set up the bowling pins. He knocked them down. It was great. And again, many years ago, but I remember that night, I was laying on the couch and he came and jumped up right here on me and sat right there. And I remember looking at him and I said, son, I love you. And my son looked back at me and said, Dad, I love bowling. And children, they're great. They're wonderful. And I laugh at that, but I think of, well, I think I bought the bowling pins, son. I think, like, didn't you? I'm the one that set them up and put, you know, I'm the one. But honestly, as a father, my desire for my son is that he will love the Father. That he will love, that is the goal, that he will love the Heavenly Father. And I can get so distracted with other things. And honestly, they can think, man, am I supposed to love bowling, school, education, job, all of those things? Mom, that's, Dad, that's what you talk about me all the time. Instead of going, no, the most important thing, the goal of it all is that you will love the Father. That you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So in this, the Bible says, Father, well, let's just stop there. It says fathers. Here, studying this, people then say, so is this not for mothers? Is this for parents? What is this? When you look at the word here, father, other places in the Bible, this Greek word is translated to mother and father. Like in Hebrews chapter 11, when they translate it mother and father. So it could be mother and father. I think this passage, because in Ephesians 6:1, it uses the word parent, which is a different Greek word. And I think if they wanted parent again, they would have put that here. And so I think there is a specific here to fathers. What that doesn't mean, this still applies to parenting as a whole, for mothers and fathers. This truth is very important for us to grasp as a mom and as a dad, and to follow through with those things. But we also see, there is this emphasis going, hey, dads, you need to lead in this. Hey, dads, this is really important for you. And so the instruction starts out, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. The word provoke literally means to stir them up. Sometimes dads are good at that. Sometimes moms are good at that. To stir them up, to irritate them. One said to suggest a repeated, ongoing pattern of treatment that gradually builds up a deep-seated anger and resentment that boils over an outward hostility. Now, you may be sitting there and going, Pastor, my teenage daughter, my teenage son, if I say hi to them, it provokes them to anger. All I got to go is hi, and they're like, so I'm not supposed to say hi. No, understand here, like in Colossians 3:21, which is like a parallel teaching to this, it talks about fathers, don't exasperate your children. Don't be overbearing. Don't irritate, frustrate. Don't enforce legalistic standards. One pastor said, we are not to provoke our children to the point that they will begin to seethe with resentment and irritation. As I was studying this, I think there was one commentary that I think it explained this well. It just walked through what does this practically look like to provoke them to anger. One, it's failing to take into account the fact that they are kids. On Wednesday nights here at the church, I teach a foundations class. It is a class for those who are come to know the Lord, maybe newer in their faith and really need the foundations. What are the foundations of faith? So I have a class, 5:30 to 6:30, and they come in. It's wonderful. And I just say, ask any question you want. We're going to walk through any question you have, anything that, and it's a wonderful thing. This week, we started talking about God the Father, and there's a younger couple in there and newer in their faith and the Lord, and she was asking about the Father, God the Father, and we got in the conversation how it's easy to picture God the Father staring down going, you mess up, you're done. And we can get in that mode to think this is how the Father loves us. And I told her specifically, I said, realize, think of your daughter. And they have this beautiful young daughter. I say, think about how you love her. Think about her as a baby and who she is and how she's growing. You don't expect her to be an adult tomorrow. There is this growing. There is this maturing. And I said, think about God's love for you. You are a child in Christ. God doesn't go, hey, you got saved. You better act like an adult right now. No, there is this maturing. You see God's love as he watches you grow, watches you to know him and to that he can love you. And when we think about that, the relationship with God, with us, and with our children, sometimes we can press for them to be adult. They're children. And we can provoke them to anger when we forget that. The commentary went on to say we provoke them to anger by comparing them to others, by disciplining them inconsistently, by failing to express approval even at small accomplishments, by failing to express our love to them, by disciplining them for reasons other than willful disobedience and defiance, because they embarrassed you. pressuring them with our goals and not their own, withdrawing love because of something they did, or overprotecting them. These are all ways that we can provoke them to anger. I rarely put quotes up on the screen. Usually it's just passages of scripture. I just thought this quote by Warren Wiersbe was so good, I wanted to share it with you. It says this: parents provoke their children and discourage them by saying one thing and doing another, by always blaming and never praising, by being inconsistent and unfair in discipline, and by showing favoritism in the home, by making promises and not keeping them, and by making light of problems that to the children are very important. Christian parents need the fullness of the Spirit so they can be sensitive to the needs and the problems of their children. Now, I feel like this sermon's really heavy, and all, like, throughout the sermon, I have to bring it, like, it's really deep, and we're like, I got to bring us back above water. Like, okay, take a break, take a breather. But when we see this passage, the calling, right, there's so many important things here, like not showing favoritism, being consistent, not being unfair, following through with what we say, praising them. So here in this passage, the Bible is teaching us, the Heavenly Father, how He loves us. Now we as parents, this is how we're called to love our children. Why? Because we are the first love. We are called to represent Christ to them as parents. So we must be careful to not provoke them to anger, to be fair and loving and consistent. So this passage, as you read it, it's do not provoke your children to anger. Instead, let's look at the other side. Instead of having a home this way, this is what it should look like. It says bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, I want you to be careful, because some of you heard discipline and you lost every other thing, and all other words went away. First, it says bring them up. Let's look at this. This bring them up means to provide, means to nourish, means to feed. This, I love this, because it is not saying that you release them or give them or allow them or throw them. It says bring them, walk with them. It's grab their hand and walk along the road of life. We are tempted as parents even to live in the same house but not walk together. What I mean is, you come home and you get on your device and you don't walk with them. You come home and you watch whatever you watch. You come home and you use whatever you need to detach from life, instead of going, man, I have this great priority to bring them along with me. If you grew up in church and remember the stories of Jesus with the disciples, how did Jesus teach the disciples? Well, he had them sign up for class 101 and 102. You know, they came to the college, they walked in the room, they had... No. Where did he teach them? On the road. Luke 24, as Christ had risen, they're thinking back of Christ, Luke 24, 32 says, they said to each other, disciples, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Jesus taught them on the road, taught them in the boat, taught them in the storm, taught them after the storm, taught them at the meal, taught them after they messed up, taught them in the middle of when they were messing up. Jesus showed us it's a bringing them along, that they may see our faith, they may see what we value. The scary thing is, they know what you value. Go home and ask them to make a list. Maybe not, because it'd be too scary. What do I value? Son, my 15-year-old son, what do I value? What's most important? What do you see at top of the list? What do you see that takes my time, takes my energy, takes my passion? And this call for parents to train up our children, to bring them along. We're called to disciple them. So a part of that discipleship is that we're working on being discipled. It's so they can look at us and go, Dad, what's important to you is God's word or God's way, or what's important to you is loving mom. What's important to you is loving dad. What's important to you is the church. One pastor said, children are observing how their parents value the church. They're watching how parents are speaking truth lovingly, working honestly, giving, encouraging others, putting away bitterness and anger, repenting and forgiving one another. We bring them along. They're learning obedience, respect, submission. Now, I tell you these things, and you may be sitting there going, man, I want you to hear something. This isn't a sermon to go, man, you better get perfect at this parenting thing, because none of us are perfect. We all fall short. We all stumble. But they're going to watch how you stumble. They're going to watch how you fall. One said, as we all fail as parents, this does not make us a bad parent. It simply means we need grace. And do not hide the need for grace to your children. Let them see your need for grace and mercy. Let them see that when you fail, you run back to the cross of Jesus Christ. Let them see, as a parent, what our goal is, that they would see us running to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would see us not, okay, I got to run to these certain techniques in parenting. No, what they most need to see is that they have a mom and dad that run back to the cross of Jesus. They run back to what Jesus did on the cross, thanking him for what he did, bowing down to him, asking forgiveness of sin, repenting, because we know Christ went to the cross because of our sin, and we know that we receive grace and eternal life because of what Jesus did. As parents, we need to show them the gospel in our lives. That when we mess up, we ask for forgiveness to them because we tell them we've gone to the Father and asked for forgiveness. I like what one person put it, talked about how Paul, in the New Testament, writer of many of the books, he said the difference between Paul and parents is parents are always about hiding their weaknesses, and Paul shared them and thanked the Lord for the grace of God in the weakness. And so in bringing them along, we see, and I think this is a truth for dads out there, fathers, it's not enough to nurture the children physically and by providing food, shelter, and clothing. We must also nurture them emotionally and spiritually. We're called to bring them. Now it says, bring them up in the discipline. Now, what does discipline mean? Just want it quiet right there so you can think about that. Discipline, what does it mean here? Well, let's look into what the word discipline means here in the Bible. When you look at this word, the word discipline means to steer, means to protect, means to train. It means to disciple. So Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. What this word means, one, it means to train. that we must teach our children to back up a couple of verses, to obey and to honor. We must teach them the importance. We call them to obedience. Why? Because we want them to obey their heavenly Father. We want them to, when they move out of our house, they live a life of honor, not just to you, but to God Almighty. And so bringing them up in the discipline is training them. It's leading them to obedience. It's leading them to honor. Titus 2:1 says this, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age." It's training them, but it is also correcting them. It's correcting wrongdoing. And you may say, okay, give me the four steps of how to, what is it? Is it spanking? Is it time? You just give me the four steps. And you look and go, we have to grow in discernment and wisdom, because the goal is to point them to the Lord and then to go, what is the best in training them to be obedient? And there are those of you who have multiple children, you know each kid is different, aren't they? This disciplinary act worked great with them. Man, did it not work with them. And so what we do is we have the church and we're together. We go, hey, Wednesday mornings up there, there's a young married group all meeting together. They all have babies. I mean, it's crazy. There's a bunch of babies in that room, and they're a bunch of young married couples. And every Wednesday they meet there, and I walk by and just have a smile because they are sitting there studying God's word together, going, what does it look like for us to be godly parents? And they talk to each other, and they go back to God's word, and they help each other, and they pray for each other, and they care for one another. That's beautiful. Why? Because the goal is to grow in parents how we can bring them up in the discipline of the Lord, to train them, to correct them. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give you delight to your heart. This correction, we're losing this in our culture. It's almost like we think correction is bad. No, if left to ourselves, we rebel. On Wednesday night, I got to teach the young adults. We studied Ephesians 5:15-16, talking about redeeming the time because the days are evil. And that the portion of scripture says the days are evil. Just I was learning about it. One guy said, it's like plant a garden and leave it to itself. What do you think is going to happen? The days are evil. Get ready for some weeds. Take your own body and don't try to train it and be smart. Just let it be. How's it going to go? Take your spiritual life and don't train it. Just kind of let it be. What's going to happen? No, we must redeem the time because the days are evil in our children. If we don't call them to obedience, to know the love of the Lord, to see the love of the Lord, the days are evil. There is foolishness in their heart. There is this great call upon our lives, if you are a parent, to train up your child to know the Lord. And as I said earlier, this is also with the church. Don't sit there and go, I'm good, I'm done. No, no, no. How are we being a part of this? How are we caring? How are we praying? See, with training up a child, this discipline, it's training, it's correcting, but it's also, there's the sense of protection. Are we protecting our kids? And first it starts out, are we praying for them? Church, you know what would be awesome? If you are like, I don't have a kid in my home, my grandparents, I'm single. If you would go to Mitchell, our children's director, you go to Justin, our student, or Amy and go, hey, will you give me 3 kids that I can just start to pray for every single week? Will you just give me their names and I will be someone in the church that will lift them up to the Lord. I will lift them up that they will know the Lord and know his love. I will be someone in the church because they don't have a mom or a dad or a grandparent to do that. You will be like, that's what I'm going to do. Mitchell, give me 3 kids that I can cry out to the Lord that they will serve and they will follow the Lord. And if you don't know the power of prayer, you may go, well, what's the big, what's the, I've showed you this before, but in my wife's family, my wife remembers her grandma coming to her and telling her how her great-grandfather prays for her. You can see it. I got a picture for you. Now, I want to tell you, this is how Silas's great-great-grandfather prayed for him. This is how he prayed for my son to follow the Lord. Lord, I pray for the salvation of each of my children and my children's children. That's Laura's parents, and my children's, and their children, that's Laura, and my children's, children's, children, and their children's, children's, children, amen. This is a great, great grandfather crying out to the Lord. Can I tell you, if you're sitting there and you're going, man, I just have a weight, my kids have already moved out, you're not done yet. I don't want you to be sitting there going, well, to train them up. Listen, you can sit and you can bring them before the Almighty God. You're not done. It's not over. Keep seeking the Lord in this. This is the protection over our kids. I can't tell you how grateful I am for that man that I never met. And one day to see him and to say, thank you. Thank you that you were willing to cry out to the Lord on my son's behalf. To correct, to protect. Now, also in protection, you see that we can't put our head in the sand with stuff that's going on in our kids' lives. We can't not know what's on their phone. We can't not go, well, that's just what their friends are doing. We can't not know what they're watching and seeing and what's going on around them. We have to fight to know. We don't get to answer, it's what their friends are doing, so it must be okay. Mm-mm. In bringing them up, we're called to train them, to correct them, and to protect them. Lastly, to bring them up in the discipline and instruction. This word instruction comes from the word putting it in their mind. One guy said, have fun in your family and talk about Jesus a lot. The Old Testament, speaking to the Israelites, here's what it says, Deuteronomy 6:6. These words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. This word means repeatedly to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. To instruct is to raise them up in the teaching of God's word. Right? This verse says you should do it when you're sitting in your house and when you're driving in your car. No, it doesn't say driving in your car. But we get it, right? It's not, some people argue, well, you're supposed to have that. Am I supposed to have a verse here? No, it's this in everything that you do. Take the opportunity to talk about Jesus. Fight for those conversations. Our world is leaning us farther and farther from having one-on-one talking conversations. Our society is leading us away from that. It's leading us away from the importance of gathering together. Us, face-to-face, talking, gathering is so important with your children. Work at it. Dad, I know you don't like to talk. Work at it. Work at finding those questions to lead them in conversation. Talk about where you're at. Talk about how at work you had to go, man, I got really frustrated today, and then I had to pray to the Lord. Tell him you did that. Or tell him I should have prayed and I didn't. Tell him how you're walking. Tell him how you're trying to grow. The instruction. At the River Church, we have something called the Pastor's Academy. It's a 2-year program of men who feel like they're called to be pastors. And it's 2 years. We have Pastor Josh Yates heads that up. And then we, as the elders and pastors, come in and teach different lessons. And they're walking through studying the Bible and New Testament survey and Old Testament survey. And then we walk through practical things. What does this look like to be a pastor and to preach? And so this past Thursday, I had the privilege. I went to Pastor's Academy, and two of the young men preached a sermon to us on this passage. I look back and go, man, I wish as a young man I would have had people that would have poured into me, that would have told me, you sound ridiculous, you need to work at that, right? Like, I just wish I'd have had that as a young man. But I didn't tell them they did wonderful, okay? But as they shared, and David, who's one of our young men who we've sent out from Waterford, and he's serving in Walled Lake, is preaching there this morning. And there's another man from Goodrich. And as he shared this, he used a farming story. Shocker. Guy from Goodrich. He used a farming story. Right? But he gave a story. I thought it was so helpful. He talked about how he grew up on an apple orchard. And how his dad would take him out there to prune the trees, to prune the apple trees. And he said how, learning to do this, it almost would feel harsh what you would do to that tree. It almost would, because you would cut off this limb and you'd cut off this branch, and it just wouldn't be the dead branches. There would be things you'd be like, man, isn't that branch okay? And someone who was good at pruning, they would prune that tree. And I started to look into it a little bit, that pruning, what it would do, it improves the sunlight penetration. I thought, like, what a great example. Pruning in our kids' lives, it allows the sun to shine in their lives. It removes dead and diseased wood. It reduces pests. And I thought, man, isn't that great? Responsibility of a mother and a father sometimes is to remove pests from our kids' lives. Sometimes there's that friendship that their friends have, or that connection, or whatever that is, and we have to work to remove those pests. And sometimes those pests are actually our friends, that we actually need to examine and go, hey, are there friends in my life that are impacting my kids in an unhealthy way? And maybe the pests aren't the kids, or aren't their friends in their life, they're the friends in my life. But this pruning, so the tree may grow. And he used the term, he said, what you would do is you would cultivate fruitfulness. That's what this passage is calling for us to do. To cultivate fruitfulness in our children's lives. They're their own tree. They're going to grow, and you can't force them to grow. But what you got is the ability to fight to cultivate fruitfulness in their lives. So they may grow and what? Know the Lord. So practically, what do you do with this sermon this morning? Right, the goal is not that you go home and go, all right, we're making 700 changes in our house today. or go home and just feel the weight of like, man, I didn't do this right. No, what can I do? What can you do? Well, three things I pray for you every single week. I pray the sermon will lead some of you to repentance. That I pray for some of you that the Lord will reveal some sin in your life. Instead of hiding it still or not dealing with it and not or just going, it's not a big deal, that you would go, man, this is something I need to deal with. And repentance is you would confess and forsake that sin. That you would then find people in your house, in your life, to be accountable with that. So maybe this morning you'd be led to repentance. And what's so wonderful is that we can cry out before the Lord and receive forgiveness. Maybe there's some rebuilding you need to do. Maybe there's some learning to go, man, I got to change some things. I got to do some things differently. See, I pray that the sermon will lead some of you to repentance. It will lead some of you to a rebuilding of your life on the Lord. And then it will lead the saints, which is those of us who know the Lord, to be equipped for the work of the ministry. That this morning, may we be challenged as a church of the importance of family. To think outside of our box and go, man, how can we love kids, pray for kids, teach kids who don't have a mother or a father, who teach them about the Lord? May we be challenged of the importance of family. That honestly, it'll take us all to the foot of the cross, because that's why we're here. We don't gather as a church because we have some cool parenting techniques. We don't gather because we're like, hey, we've really figured out the niche in family. We gather because the Almighty God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Christ died on the cross for our sins. 3 days later, rose again, defeated death in the grave, and offers salvation. And we are here. We gather as a church because the Lord has saved us. He's forgiven us of all of our sins and now given us life that we may point other people to the cross. And that starts in our home. So no matter where you're at, can I tell you, you're not done. Don't feel like it's over. Learn some kids you can pray for. Keep praying for those grandkids. I see many of you as grandparents pouring so much into your grandkids. I think of a great-great-grandfather that poured into my son. May we grow to learn to be a people where God the Father looks at us and says, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. And we look back at the Lord. And because of his love for us, we say, we love you, Lord, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Let's stand together. Listen, just a little bit different. Wrapping up our gathering, we're going to have a baptism right after our song of worship, but can I challenge you this morning with something? Let's pray this morning. Let's not push it off till this afternoon. Let's have a time of prayer right now for families. Let's just spend some time in worship, and maybe for some of you, Dad, maybe that's putting your arm around your spouse or your son and say, hey, I just want to pray over you right now. If you'd like, you're welcome to come forward. You can get on your knees and you guys can pray together as a family. You pray together in your seat. I just want us to have a time. Let's pray. Let's cry out to God to pray for your spouse, to pray for your kid, to pray for your grandkid, to look up the row and see that young mom right there, and you see the heaviness on her heart, you start praying for her. May we just have a time as we gather to cry out to the Lord. Phil, you lead us.